Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
What reasons do you offer for your subpar love life and social life that you've convinced yourself are valid in your own mind? I'm not good looking enough. I'm not charming enough. Or my sense of humor is lacking. I'm not educated enough. Or I've not achieved enough yet in my career to attract quality members of the opposite sex. Whatever reasons you've offered to yourself to potentially justify why you haven't made the effort to improve your love life, sex life, and overall interactions with the opposite gender are just a number of excuses designed to allow you to escape making any real changes or improvements in yourself. Aren't you tired of making excuses? I mean, really, aren't you? My guest this evening emphatically promotes the idea that in order to take the right steps towards improving your success with men and women in your life, you must start with eliminating all of these invalidly ingrained beliefs and psychological blockers that have up to this point prevented you from being your best. Who is this gentleman who offers knowledge and wisdom to his clients under the mantra of date to win and no more excuses dating? His name is David Wygant, and tonight this professional dating coach, author, and attraction expert is ready to leave you with some valuable gems of wisdom as he chooses to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
Yeah, I gotta ask you though. Do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do.
and I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
We all flossed out, up in the VIP, white tee, platinum link on me. I got a little bit of cheese, all drinks on me, but mommy gotta do something, no drinks for free. What you think of me, what you think you see, when I spin big faces, big bracelets, my watch and ring. When I park my car, it don't stop a thing, cause the rim's still turning and we burning cigarettes. With the sweets, the freaks just order armadillo. Buy the model, find the model, and sex her if you can.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 14th, and on tonight's show, I will be interviewing one of the top professional dating coaches and attraction experts in the entire nation. His most popular products are Date to Win, Men's Mastery Series, No Excuses Dating, and I'm looking forward to conversing with him in just a few moments. But first, let me tell you who's on coming up on my show next week. Next week, I will have the guest who actually was initially supposed to be on my show last week. Her name is Fabree Hassan Freeman. She is a relationship and personal development coach, and she will be here to talk about the secret power that single women and even married women have with men. The secret power that single women and even married women have with men. So I'm sure the ladies who listen to my show will be enthused and curious to hear what she has to say on that subject. Let me give love, as I always do, to my chat room. You know I love all my listeners, and I have a special fondness for my chat room. That's right. I got in my chat room, I got Dan D, alias Rice-A-Roni from DirectMethod.com. I got Final Justice in the house. Metal Haze in the house. I got Hypert in the house. I got Guest 5509. I got my younger cuz, JP Jones from the South Side of Chicago in the chat room in Southside. JJ, got my dear friend and the most knowledgeable woman on sports. That's right, Adrian Diva 36, 26, 36. I got Guest 5573. Got DJ Squid, one of my colleagues on Blog Talk Radio. He has a show where he keeps it real. To say he keeps it real is a gross understatement. He keeps it triple real on the DJ Squid show. He talks about a lot of stuff, dating, relationships, urban issues, just quality of life topics on his show. And I'm sure a number of other guests will be making their way in my chat room as the conversation goes on. A few other shout outs will be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, John Suhu, alias Aqua Daddy, Mike Bennett, my cousin After Ball, Christopher Curry, David Thompson, good friend in L.A., Evan Marquette's a former guest on my show. He's a dating coach himself. Kathy Holloway Hill, a colleague here on Blog Talk Radio, Will Wavy, Steve Dean Williams, the Lavologist, all of my other fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues, as well as my Facebook buddies. If you're joining me tonight, glad to have you. I see a few people talking about it in the chat room. I've always been giving updates. I'm an NBA fan, so I give updates every week of what's going on. If you haven't been keeping up, the Cavaliers swept their series with the Atlanta Hawks. LeBron James is ultra-focused, and they're just waiting on the winner of the Boston versus Orlando series. The winner of the Boston versus Orlando series. Orlando won tonight 83-75. They beat the Boston Celtics 83-75. So that means they'll be going to a seventh game. They will be going to a seventh game. Celtics went to seven games, as you know, with the Chicago Bulls. And looks like they're going seven games with the Orlando Magic. But they got the home court advantage. So, I don't know. Them Celtics fans might just help them lead them to the conference championship. And over in the West, the Western Conference, Denver beat Dallas 4-1. They're waiting on the winner of the Houston-LA series. And LA is actually playing right now, I think. They're playing in Houston right now, So, whoever wins this, and now if L.A. wins tonight, they win the series. If L.A. wins tonight, they win the series. If Houston wins, then that series will go seven games. So, yeah, I'm excited about the NBA playoff. I'm a big NBA fan. So, I'm just, the main thing I'm looking for is good games. I hope every game from this point forward just goes into overtime, because I want good games. If you're a Tom Hanks fan and you enjoy, and you're also a Ron Howard fan and you enjoyed the movie The Da Vinci Code, the follow-up to that movie comes out tomorrow. My cousin in the chat room said it's very good. I think he gave it at least 3.5 out of 4 stars. So go check out Angels and Demons. It's going to deal with different subject matter than The Da Vinci Code. I think they're going to talk about the Illuminati. And, yeah, it should be a good – I like Ron Howard. I like him as a director. I think he's a great director. And, of course, Tom Hanks is just a – you know, he's a Hollywood legend. So I'm usually willing to check out anything he takes part in. So, yes, indeed. Now, you know, there was some controversy made this week involving comedian Wanda Sykes, because she was ribbing some people. And, you know, before I watched the tape, I was like, uh-oh, what did Wanda say? What did she say? But after watching the tape, man, I'm telling you, she was off the chain. She was funny as I don't know what. That's all those right-wing conservatives who don't have a sense of humor who were criticizing her. But even the joke that was supposedly extra harsh against Rush Limbaugh, man, if – all the smack that Rush Limbaugh take, if he doesn't have thick enough skin to handle her little lighthearted ribbons, then, you know, I've lost even more respect for him, because he should be able to take that. If he dishes it out, he should be. But I'm here to tell you, Wanda Sykes was hilarious. I was cracking up, especially, actually, when she was joking about the vice president. That was funny what she said about Joe Biden. So, yeah. Now, speaking of controversy, I don't know if you've been keeping up, but there's kind of been a soap opera going on. Miss Universe, Miss California, her name is, I don't know if I'll pronounce this right, Carrie Prejean. Guess who came out and defended her? Sarah Palin came out and defended Carrie Prejean, And but Shauna Mochler actually quit over this whole issue. You know, what happened first, she drew controversy because she said she was against gay marriage. Then supposedly she signed a document saying that she would not take nude or semi-nude photos, but she did. And so Shauna Mokla, who was one of the organizers, quit. I don't think Mokla quit. I think Donald Trump brought in office and said, you're fired. And, you know, she just out the way. But, yeah, it's been a big to-do. And then, speaking of nude photos, there's this rumor that Chris Brown has leaked nude photos of Rihanna. And this is what I want to say to Chris Brown for doing that. And you listen up, Chris. I'm going to tell you this only once. Thank you, brother, for releasing them photos, dog. Man, those are some nice photos of Rihanna.
Alan, you're so stupid. You're stupid.
Dude, if you ain't seen them photos, man, hey, man, Chris, I ain't mad at you, man. Thank you, brother. Leak some more. Leak about 5 to 10 more photos of Rihanna. But, yes, he had his own controversy, of course, because he turned into Jackie Chan and whoever else to start whooping up on your girl. But then they said they were together. Now they said they're not. And so who knows, you know. I just say, you know. But maybe Chris Brown needed some dating advice. And speaking of dating advice, my guest for the evening, he has been interviewed so many times on radio and television that I cannot begin to list all of this man's credentials. We're talking Dateline NBC, MTV, CBS The Early Show, MSNBC, E! Online, Playboy TV, just a number of magazines and newspapers, including the Los Angeles Times, New York Magazine, Harper's Bazaar, Seattle Times, Boston Globe, Maxim Magazine. I mean, this guy's been all over the place. He is a dating and relationships superstar. He's been contributing, consultant, and advisor to both Match.com and Yahoo Personals. And he currently resides in Los Angeles, but he's traveled all over the world, dropping knowledge and wisdom on single men in a number of countries looking to improve their success with women. Listeners, on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, I want you to give it up for Mr. David Wygant. What is up, David?
What's going on, Alan? How are you? Hope you can hear me okay, man. I am just try to find good cell reception as I'm sitting here on the beach with my dog chilling out, and I found the one spot, man. I hope I do not disconnect you at all.
Okay, well, I get my fingers crossed, because I've had at least a couple of interviews in the past where we did have some technical difficulties, but hopefully that cell reception will work. So you on the beach, huh?
I live on the beach in Marina Del Rey. I'm sitting here in my black lab, and the sun is still sitting up in the sky, man, and I figured the best place to interview and really have some fun with you tonight would be sitting on the beach. See, I got a house full of guests.
Oh, okay.
I just had to get out. My girlfriend's mom and her cousin and her aunt are there, and I don't know. I just wanted to just kind of take a little breather on my own. It was funny, this afternoon they actually went shopping, and I came home. I worked out. I came home, and I was like, God, I could finish work, or I could take a nap in a quiet house, and I passed out in my living room for the first time alone in like a week and a half.
Yeah, I remember I used to live in L.A. for 6.5 years, and I remember Marina Del Rey, man, and that's a beautiful area, beautiful beach area. That's where all the people park their yachts and whatnot. Now, let me ask you right off the bat, speaking that you have, you know, the guests, and what is your girlfriend and, say, your closest relatives, what do they think about you being this internationally known dating coach and attraction expert?
Oh, that's how they met me. I mean, so she met me when I was out with two guys one afternoon, coaching them, teaching them how to not to be afraid of approaching women. and I saw her, and I just, you know, and I said, you know, the guys looked at me and said, man, you really, you know, that girl really struck your fancy. So they go talk to her, and they, you know, so she met me doing this, and we were friends ahead of time, so she knows what I do. And really, I go so much deeper into it. I mean, I'm not one of those pickup artist guys. I mean, when I sit there and work with guys for a weekend, it's really about teaching them interconnect so they can actually attract people and really learn how to be a good communicator, how to be positive. It's not about getting the phone. I tell guys all the time that forget about the phone number. Work on yourself. If you work on yourself, you'll attract people, because the world, you only attract who you are, not what you want. So you better become something fantastic. So it's really done in a whole different light. I mean, I could less if one of my clients get a phone number. That means nothing to me. What means something to me is if they get some good personal growth. So my girlfriend's real keen and real open to what I do.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's funny you say that, because, of course, I've had a number of different dating coaches on my show. And one thing I notice is that some of the guys who do, not necessarily been on my show, but just on the internet, who are in the whole, you know, pickup artist community, they seem to put a big premium on getting the phone number. Now, an interesting question to you would be, I don't perceive you as someone who's more or less a pickup artist, but yet a lot of these sites revere you. They hold you up as a guy. So I'm kind of put you on the spot. What's your attitude towards the whole pickup artist mentality?
I think the pickup artist mentality of children. I mean, I really do. I mean, these guys that speak in pickup artist lingo, they call themselves PUA. You know, they call themselves all different things. They're always talking about, you know, IOIs, indicators of interest, and the other crap. I think it's for children. I think it's great if you're 18 to 22 years old and you want to go get laid and you want to become a pickup, because that's really what you can be at 18 to 22. But, I mean, men over the age of 22, you better learn how to relate to women. And I find most of these pickup artists, they don't respect women at all. Most of these so-called pickup artists are just geeks, and they're guys that really never got laid in the first place. So they were so frustrated that they came up with a system where they nicknamed themselves something. And the fact of the matter is, in life, I believe you better. You should stand on your own two feet, be your own, and not come up with some stupid, silly, childlike, you know, Dungeons and Dragon name like the Phantom Method, or you know, or my name is Tomcat the Seducer. You know, I mean, these guys are gay, man. They really are. It's so gay to me. It's ridiculous. You know, I respect the gay man because he at least stands on his own two feet and tells the world that he likes men. But these guys, man, they are just, remember when we were little kids and we called people faggots and queers and gays? These are these kids that we called faggots and queers because we didn't really call the gay guys that, because we didn't even know what it was anyway.
Oh, brother, you killing me. That is funny. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Now, okay, along the same lines. Oh, man, that's good, David.
And then I tell it like it is, Alan. I tell it like it is.
Oh, now, do you, getting away from just the title pickup artist, but more so specifically concentrate on pickup lines themselves, do you think at any point in time a pre-rehearsed pickup line can be beneficial? Is it always detrimental, or does it vacillate between being advantageous and disadvantageous?
I think it always will kill you, because the fact is that I teach guys how to observe. If you observe your surroundings, you can make a comment based on what's going on in the moment. And women are all about the moment. Women are about creating moments. So when you go in there with some ridiculous routine, you know, you forget to listen, because all you do is think to yourself, I got to go there and I got to talk like a robot. You know, you become like the C-3PO from Star Wars. You know, you become like this robotic machine. But in reality, life is about having conversations. You know, you got to have a conversation at some point. So if you walk over to a woman and she's looking at blueberries in the market, and you walk over with some stupid, silly pickup line like, who cheats more, men or women, she's going to look at you like you're some freak from another country. It's like, you know, it's like, this is not what she's thinking. She's thinking, man, what kind of blueberry do I want to get right now? Who cares who cheats more, men or women? You know, so I think pickup lines are crutches, and anybody who uses them will never meet anybody but low self-esteem women.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a powerful statement. Well, let's go kind of, you know, all these movies now have the prequels where they let you know how it started from the beginning, like Star Trek and whatnot. Let's, for at least a few seconds, talk about how did David Wigand, I don't know what you were doing prior to Dating Coach, but take us back to that moment where you were doing whatever you were doing before this. What series of events in your life led to you wanting to become a dating coach?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I've always been an entrepreneur, so I've always owned my own type of business. I've owned bars. I mean, I've owned people-related businesses. So I've always been somebody that really enjoys to, you know, just enjoys the let's call it the mind game, you know, the interactions between people. And I don't know, it was like the early to mid-90s, and I got divorced, and I didn't want to be that guy. You know, that guy that's out Friday night with his hands in his pocket with all the young people drinking around him, and he's standing there in the corner, you know, and he's like 34 years old, and he's standing there amongst a bunch of 20-something-year-old drunken retards who just got out of college, and everybody's looking at him going, God, look at that guy. I don't want to be that guy. And I remember I was living in Boulder, Colorado, and I started meeting women just everywhere. I started meeting them in Pier 1. I started meeting them in the supermarket. And I realized guys would look at me and think that was so amazing. And really, it wasn't amazing. It was just being observant and just talking. And at that moment, I realized there might be something here. And all my life, I always wanted to develop a business that was unique, different, and do something that was me. And I've always been my own personal quest. Has always to been a really good communicator, be really good at understanding the opposite sex, be really good at understanding myself. I mean, I think I was into personal development when I was 8 or 9 years old, reading books on, you know, psychology and sex and everything else. So this really just, this is like an evolution of what I, you know, of who I am, not really what I really wanted to be. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I just kind of allowed it to be, and that's why it was so much fun.
Okay. Now you have a CD called No Excuse. Matter of fact, I got to you know, you are the king of the buzzwords because you know how to use these words of date to win, no excuses, empowerment boot camp. Man, I love how they just kind of jump out at you. And but I wanted to ask you along the lines of no excuses. In talking to men, what are some, name 2 to 3 what you would call lame excuses for why single men have offered for why they are not dating at all or why they're not having success dating?
Oh, man, 2 to 3. I mean, we could sit here and we could talk all night. There's hundreds of them, but I mean.
Okay, give me 5.
You know, I mean, a main one is always like she doesn't look like she wants to talk right now, you know. And I always tell guys all the time, well, if you're a fucking mind reader, Jesus, man, why are you busy picking women? You might as well be picking stocks right now. You would have known Apple went from 75 to 132 from March to, you know, about a week ago. So really, why are you wasting time with women when you could be telling me who wins the Super Bowl, who can be doing all these great things? Another excuse they have all the time is, I don't know the right thing to say. They're always expecting that there has to be a right thing to say, when in reality, it's the tone of voice you use. It's not the right thing to say. It's pertaining to what's going on in the moment. So it's not the right thing to say. It's how you say it. Another excuse would be like, man, I don't have my game on today. Well, what game? You never had game to begin with, you know? You know, another thing is, you know, it's the wrong time right now. I got to wait for the right time. I got to wait for her to break for the bathroom. She's sitting at the bar alone right now texting somebody, and it's not the right time because the right time will be some time that I created in my mind. I mean, guys are just full of excuses, or they just have that monkey chatter. The group of monkeys that are hanging on their head going, oh, you can't talk to her. You know, it's like you're shy. I love when people say they're shy. I'm shy, or I'm not as funny as you are. You're right. You're not as funny as I am. But you know what? Some women don't like my sense of humor. So the women that like your stupid sense of humor won't like my sense of humor. It's just endless. Guys will come up with endless excuses not to talk to a woman. You know, my breath smells at this moment. You know, I just farted 2 minutes ago, and she might smell it. I mean, anything. They'll come up with any lame excuse because the bottom line is they'd rather come up with excuses because in their mind they can rationalize that it wasn't going to work anyway. Their excuses allowed them to say, you know, it wouldn't have worked anyway, so I'm glad I didn't do it or didn't try.
Okay. Wygant just breaks it down, fellas. Now, briefly talk about the idea of self-fulfilling prophecies as they relate to single men approaching and conversing with women.
Oh, God, self-fulfilling prophecies is something very interesting in life, because if you think about, you know, the old saying, what you think about, you bring about, is 100% true, you know, in anything. If you walk over to a woman and you think to yourself, you know, like you've walked over there and you keep thinking like, man, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me. She's not going to like me. She's not going to like me. You spend about an hour doing that. By the time you walk over, she's so creeped out by your energy because she's noticed you looking at her and not responding or not even talking to her, not even walking up there. By the time you walk over there, she is so creeped out by you that she wants to run away. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because a lot of guys will talk themselves out of things. They'll go out, they'll think to themselves, man, she's not going to like me, and she doesn't want to have sex with me. And the whole night they'll be thinking about her not wanting to have sex, and their energy is going to turn a woman off, because women are very intuitive. So women are going to feel this insecurity about them, and nobody wants to be with an insecure person. My God, I mean, we're all insecure in our own ways, but nobody wants to be with somebody outwardly insecure on date one or date two, because if they're that insecure in the beginning, can you imagine what they're going to be like in a relationship? It'll be a nightmare.
True. Well, callers, if you have a question or comment for my guest tonight, David Wygant, please call in 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646, I'm sorry, area code 646, then 478-5710. Right now, I'm going to let David take a little 2-3 minute break while I go to my first intermission break. But when we get back, I will ask him more questions about his philosophies and principles regarding men approaching women. And if you have any questions or comments ready, prepare them, call into the show, and we'll take it from there. I'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome, everyone, to the Lovologist Live. I'm your host, the Lovologist. Your show has given me some great tips, some helpful tips on dating as far as being a single brother. And it's helped me a lot.
You prove to people every day that even though I've only known you for, what, a couple weeks now, you've already made an impact. People always think you have to sit up here and work your way into everyone's life. I don't think that's the case with everyone. Sometimes people have that first impact, first day, and that's what they're doing. So, I don't have any of those things out yet.
Now, you know I got a call to toast my boy in the
bottom. Don't cause laughter. It may cause some tears. But one thing that will happen is that I will not hold back. It'll be raw, gripping, but tell me, when's the last time you heard that from a man? That is, if you can handle the truth. Tune in Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, LovologistLive.com, where Sunday nights and relationship advice will never be the same again.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Return to my interview with dating coach and attraction expert David Wygant on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight I'm chatting it up with one of the world's most well-known dating coaches and attraction experts. Some of his products go by the name of Date to Win, No Excuses Dating, the Men's Mastery Series. I'm referring to David Wygant, and we're here discussing some of his general philosophies and principles that he shares with single men to help them improve their success in approaching women, conversing with women. Before, I was about to ask a question, but I see an area code. Let's see if this person is just listening or has a question or comment. Area code 501, 501, you're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest tonight, David Wygant. What's your question or comment?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Pretty good. I've got a question for David.
Okay.
Okay. It deals with energy, because I know he believes, and I believe it too, that attracting is all about the energy you send out. And what I'm wondering is how you can maintain good energy, because I know one day you might be feeling great, then could go up to a girl and it goes really well, but the next day you might be off a little bit, and you, because of this, your delivery might be not as delightful and energetic. So I'm just kind of wondering if he has any tips on that.
That is a great question. It's a question I hear all the time on boot camps, and it's something that I tell guys all the time. Think about life as a giant stage. Okay, every time you're out in public, you're on stage. So, for instance, let's say you just left your office and you're going to go get a sandwich for lunch. In the car ride, literally in the car ride, recharge your batteries. You've had a rough morning, let's say. Your boss is busting your balls, whatever it might be, okay? And you're really not feeling high energy that day. When you're driving, put on some good music. Put on something that's going to make you feel really good. Get you in a better mood. That way you forget about what just happened. So then when you go get a sandwich and there's a good-looking woman standing there that you're attracted to, you'll realize that this is your moment to really start communicating. So you got to come up with ways, your own personal ways, to kind of jazz you out of whatever funk you might be in. So I always tell guys all the time, take a breather whenever you're not out in public. Do something that's going to make you feel good. Put a picture of your dog on your BlackBerry so it makes you smile, whatever it might be. Listen to good music while you're driving, you know, to get yourself in a good mood. But remember, when you're out in public, you never know who's watching, who's around, and who you might have an opportunity to connect with. So if you can just get your energy up for 10 or 15 minutes at a time, that's all you need to do. You can then recharge your batteries in the car ride back to the office. You can recharge your batteries on a car ride to, you know, to the gym, wherever it might be. But just always keep in mind that whenever you're out and about, you got to always keep your energy high. So look at it as short-range times that you're out and about, and not look at the whole overall mood of the day.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Did he answer your question sufficiently enough?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
What's your first name?
Chris.
Chris, thank you for calling in, Chris. Much
thanks
appreciated.
For having me on.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
And I see one more. We'll take area code 215. 215, you're now up front and straightforward. Oh, there you go. Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
Don't have a question. This is Don Calissa from Philadelphia. Just want to say one thing.
What's up, Don Calissa? Appreciate the Mo 1 chant, which I'm going to have David do it a little bit later in the show. David, let me ask you, how do you go about convincing men that they should not be afraid of rejection? Because I know the fear of rejection seems to be the big bully in a lot of men's minds. What are some of the things you tell men to help them overcome that?
I tell people that there's no such thing as rejection at all. You know, nothing. There's no such thing as rejection. They're not. You know, here's the thing is that what guys got to start realizing is that, hey, wait, let me say hello. Hey, man, I'm on a radio show. I'll chill with you in a minute. So there's no such thing as rejection at all. Nothing. I mean, the fact is that men have got to realize something is that, you know, they're giving the power away. It's almost like the guy that doesn't walk up to the woman because he finds her attractive because he's afraid of rejection might as well take his balls and put it in a jar and hand it over to her. Because in my opinion, rejection means that you actually think the person that you're trying to communicate with is actually more powerful than you, is somebody that's a better person than you, is somebody that is actually somebody that you respect more than yourself. Because the fact of the matter is that if you're going to be rejected by just one woman, and she's going to basically take your balls and put them in a jar and put them up on the shelf, then you should never go out and talk to anybody ever again anyway. Because the fact is, you got to man up. At one point in your life, you're going to have to man up. You're going to have to go and talk to somebody, and you're going to have to go and do it. And the fact is, okay, is that if you walk over to some woman and she doesn't particularly like you, she may not feel the chemistry, it's got nothing to do with you. It doesn't mean you're not a cool guy. It doesn't mean you're not somebody who's really interesting. It just means that she just didn't feel it. So the guys that do that might as well just go right now, go to Home Depot, go get an X-Acto knife, or go get a single-edged razor, go cut their sack off, okay, put it in a jar, and put it on the shelf, because that's where your balls are always going to be.
I can see why your loyalists love you, man. You tell it like it is. You got a great sense of humor. Oh, man, you keep it real. I like that. Now, this is similar. First of all, I go on different message boards. Of course, some of the guys will refer to other guys as AFCs, average frustrated chumps, or even worse, a total loser. And I just wanted to ask you, in your, say, Book of David Wygant's terminology, is there any such thing as a total loser? And what I mean by that is there any potential client that was to come to you that would have so many issues, so many insecurities, that you just feel like you would not be able to help this person overcome, you know, his perceived flaws and weaknesses? And so simple question would be, has there ever been a male client or group of male clients that came to you that you felt like you just couldn't help because they just had too many blockers in their head?
Yeah, there's one guy in my 11 years of doing it that I could not help, okay? And he actually lives right down the street from me, ironically. He was 39 years old. He was the big V, okay? Not kidding either, right? 39 years old, never been kissed, that type of deal. Just unbelievable. I mean, I'd go to a party with him, he'd talk to people, you know, and he just never believed in building blocks. You know, he always wanted to, you know, it's a typical male mentality, you know, the male that thinks he belongs with the supermodel, you know, because he's a male, and I never understood that mentality, you know, and he just would not be willing to do the building blocks. I remember he came to one of my boot camps, and I said, I want you to observe, then I want you to say hello to every single person, then I want you to smile at people, and it was beneath him. And it's amazing that he felt that this was so beneath him, he didn't want to do the remedial stuff, and I believe everybody should do the remedial stuff. I like to take people, wash them clean, and have them really do this basics, because if you get the basics down right very quickly, then you can understand the art of communication. And he was never willing to do that. He just walked around frustrated, and he had that poor me attitude. Poor me, I'm a virgin. Poor me, I'm never going to meet somebody. Poor me, nobody wants to be with me. Poor me. And it didn't make a difference what I said, what I did. And I basically fired him. I gave him an opportunity to work with a client, a coach of mine, who lost his virginity at 25, mm-hmm. You know, and I figured they'd connect with each other, and he didn't want to do it. He only wanted to work with me, and he said, you see, nobody wants to work with me. I'm helpless, helpless, helpless. And that's how he decided to be. He wanted to be helpless. He wanted to remain helpless. He didn't want to help himself. And you got to eventually do it. And when I tell you something, I'm like a doctor, man. I give you a prescription. You better do it. And what I tell you to do is going to work. I'm not making stuff up. I'm using your own personality to make it work. And this guy just would not at all cooperate. So one failure in 11 years, but I basically think he failed himself.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are there any type of women in your experience that men should avoid approaching?
Yeah, gold diggers. I mean, who the hell wants to go out there, work your tail off, meet some woman? This is my favorite type of woman is a gold digger, you know? It's like, do me a favor, man. What the hell? Why does this bitch think because she's got a vagina between her legs that a man, a stupid man, should go spend all that money for that vagina? It's not worth it. Now, these gold diggers are the biggest idiots in the entire world. And men that fall into it are usually those geeky guys, man, that just got no game or anything. And they meet these women, and the women basically give up the pussy a little bit and just bounce upon the men's weak little wimpy dick, you know. And, you know, the man buys them little presents and cars, and the woman basically manipulates the hell out of them. And I tell guys all the time, man, if she's dressed in Chanel from head to toe and driving a Mercedes, and she's got no job, she's looking for her next meal ticket, and if you're not smart enough, it's going to be you. So those are the women that I tell guys all the time to avoid. Because as far as I'm concerned, no pussy is worth that action. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Now, next time, David, I need you to tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, exactly, man. Now you know why, Alan, I left my house because I didn't want my girlfriend's mother, who's from the South, listen in and hear me cussing away, man. Because for the whole last week, I haven't been able to say fuck. I haven't been able to say anything. I got to leave my house, man, to talk the way I want to talk.
So I take it that I've heard some, guys out there, relationship guru, dating coach gurus, whatever, to encourage guys to one degree or another to engage in the whole whining and dining scenario. So I would take it that David Weigand is totally against this whole trying to earn romantic brownie points through whining and dining.
Let me tell you something. You got to earn the whining and dining. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, my girlfriend, I mean, I'll buy her anything she wants. But, you know, we got an established relationship. When we first started dating, I knew how we both felt about each other, and I took her to dinner, nice dinners and stuff like that. But as far as I'm concerned, until you find the one that you know you're going to be with, or you're both vibing each other and you're so self-aware that you know you're vibing each other, you be creative on your dates. Stop being one of those stupid guys that makes a reservation. I mean, I got a friend who takes every woman out for sushi. His bill's $5,000 a month for blind dates that never work anymore. First off, the date's a blind date, so all you got to do is buy her a cane anyway, right? So I believe, you know, take out a woman. Make her earn the day. Take her out for a cup of coffee. Take her for a walk on the beach. If you lived on the beach, you know, it's the summertime. Go for a walk in the park. Go listen to some free music. When you guys like each other and you know you like each other and you're about to sleep with each other, you can go take her out for a nice dinner because you know what? It's enjoyable. But don't be the idiot that sits there and takes a woman out that you barely know that you met on a stupid internet site, or you met her one night in a bar and you were buzzing, and you go out there and you take her to some $150 dinner. You're a fool, man, if you do that.
Yeah, I don't know how much how familiar you are with a lot of my Mode 1 principles and philosophy. That's one of my kind of big things. I'm against the whole whining and dining deal. And like you said, once you're in an established relationship, that's different. You know, that's a totally different concept. But when you're first meeting a woman, and a lot of these guys in that stage where they're trying to, as I call it, earn brownie points, then I'm not the biggest fan of that. I read where you believe, I think I read this on your blog, that you believe that if you're in a bar nightclub and you're engaged in an enthusiastic, very animated conversation, say, with one of your buddies, that women will naturally become curious about what you two are talking about and approach you. Have you experienced that quite a bit?
No, all the time. I'm out to a lounge or a bar, wherever it might be. The average guy acts like a wolf that's been fed in 5 days, and he looks at each woman like a piece of steak. He's drooling. There was some Lowry's seasoned salt to throw on her so he can immediately start eating her inner thigh without talking to her. And guys look at women like that. They look like they've never been laid before. It's the way a woman's ass out and her breast out. It's just ridiculous. When you go there and you're going out with a boy,
Uh-oh, wait, Dave, you're breaking up. I can no longer hear you. Let's wait until you kind of come back. Yeah, the sound just kind of, your voice just kind of went out. Well, folks, we got a few seconds of technical difficulties. Dave's going to call back in because his voice kind of faded out. And I see him
back in.
There he is. Okay. There you go.
All right, man. I can't believe, man, I haven't moved at all. I found the perfect spot on the beach. The bottom line is, okay, guys go out to a bar. They look like a bunch of horny, hungry wolves that haven't been fed. They stare at body parts. Women can sense it. If you look at women when they go out, they're going out and they're huddling together. They're talking. They're laughing. They're enjoying themselves. You're naturally attracted to two people that enjoy themselves. Women also are wired that way. They see two men standing there having a great time, laughing, having a good time. Women become curious. They're like little cats, and that's the string. And the two guys standing there in the middle of the bar talking, women are naturally curious. They're going to wonder what you are talking about. And they're going to come over, and they're going to ask you what you're talking about because you're so different than the other guys that look like they're jerking off in a corner, man. I mean, most guys go to a bar, and they look like they haven't been laid before. You got to do the opposite, and do the opposite is understanding the way women are wired, the way they do things, and if you do that, women will walk over to you all night long and want to join in your conversation instead of you going in there and intruding in their conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How important do you think it is for a man to be a great listener as opposed to a great talker, or it should be equal to both?
Equal. You can't listen, you can't talk. If you're a talker, I mean, last night we went to a hot tub, my girlfriend and I did, and there was a talker in the hot tub. He sat there and talked at us for 10 minutes. So finally, I decided to see if I can perk his conversation, you know, and we were talking about celebrities and all that other bullshit you talk about in L.A. that means nothing. So all of a sudden I go, man, oh, man, it's like if a celebrity takes a crap, they call their publicist up so it could be stars crap just like us, right? And he looks at me and he goes, you have to take a crap? You know, he wasn't even, like, listening. He was just talking at us. Most people don't understand the art of listening means that you become a great conversationalist. A great conversationalist is somebody that listens, reacts to what the other person says, shares a story or shares something to the conversation, and it's like a great game of tennis. It just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And a lot of guys will just talk at women on a date. They'll talk at her and talk at her and talk at her until she dries up like, you know, like an old lady.
Okay. Listeners, if you have questions or comments, I see some of you making various comments in the chat room. Instead of making them in the chat room, call in. Make your comments, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Right now, I'm going to take a second 2 to 3 minute intermission break, but when we come back, I'll have some more questions, and hopefully my listening audience will have more questions and comments for Mr. David Wygant. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Available at McClendonReport.com. How to find a good black man. 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 Available at McClendonReport.com.
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time. I think some of the contributions to why relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan Hall.
We were created to couple up. And I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
L.A. is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken is black women to me. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. Just like chicken.
Miss McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a tingling. So talk about
702 is upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you? Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my goodness.
I get this food.
Alan.
No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What?
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with dating coach and attraction expert David Wygant on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're down to our last 20-25 minutes of our interview with our guest this evening, who goes by the name of David Wygant. David Wygant, he's well known not only within the United States, but in various countries across the world. He has a number of products for men and even women, and I'm going to ask him about that a little later. Well, speaking of traveling, David, in your travels, what if anything is different about dating rituals in, say, Europe than dating rituals here in America?
Americans are more uptight, you know, basically in a nutshell, man. I can hear them all going, oh, my God, what are you talking about? I was in French, and they all hated me. Yeah, because you were an American. You know, Americans are always more uptight because they just can't hang. They can't go with the flow. In London, you know, for instance, okay, you know, it's like dating is like taboo almost. Like they don't want to use the word date. It almost like, you know, you just go and you meet up, you know. It's like
you'll meet up with them, or it's cool to meet up, or it's great to meet up. And, you know, in Amsterdam, it's the same thing. They like to meet up or hang out, whatever it is. Americans, we're just so formal with it. You know, it's like, how to be a date. You know, is it a date? Is it not a date? What do I say on the date? How do I act on the date? You know, how do I become better on the date? How do I, you know, and it's just chill the fuck out, you know? It's just a date. It's not the end of the world. It's not anything spectacular. It's just you, a woman, looking at each other, chewing some food, sipping some coffee, and basically exchanging stories. People here are so worried about what to say. It's almost like we've been self-helped to death. It's like boy likes girl, boy likes girl, girl likes boy. But you know what? Once they exchange phone numbers, all hell seems to break loose. Should I call? Should I not call? Should I? I had a good time yesterday. When should I ask her out again? It's like, you know, it's just like, just be yourself. You know, just don't call 8 million times. You like somebody, ask them out. You had a good time on the date? Say, hey, man, I had a great time. Let's go out on Sunday. You know, let's go for a ride in the park. Let's go get some bikes and go riding. Make it fun. I always tell people all the time, if you make it like a fun little adventure, they're going to want to see you again. But if you sit there and overanalyze every little word, every little thing, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
You know, that's funny because when I was living in L.A., your nigga was, I met quite a few women who were from France. And they were one of the first ones to tell me. I didn't know we had that perception. But, yeah, we're perceived, these women told me that Americans are perceived as very uptight, inhibited, and prudish. And I was like, really? I was thinking we were free-spirited. They were like, oh, no, you guys are, like, very prudish compared to, you know, people in France. And I've heard that quite frequently since those conversations with those women. Real quickly, I want to give a few shout-outs in my chair. I saw some new people come in. Igasaurus is in here, touching the night sky. Cafe Ale, good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. Sean, to be enlightened. Honey Cheeks, good game. Lovely 9780. Glad to have you in the chat. Now, you know what I forgot to do as I went to my second intermission? I usually do it when I go to my second intermission. Now, David, you have to get indoctrinated to my show as I do with all my guests. I want you to say the title of my book, of course, is Mode One, but on the show we stretch out the O's and create a chant from it called Mo One. So let me hear David Wyand say Mo One.
Oh, that's way too easy for me because I used to call my best friend a Mo Ron all the time, man. So Mo to me is so easy. I could say Mo One any day, man. I can go Mo One. And if it was Christmas time, you can go Mo 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 One. Or, you know, if you're trying to hump it out, you can go do the Mo Mo One or whatever it might be. So that's too easy for me.
He just did the disco version of Mo One.
Well, yeah, because my best friend, when we were kids, we used to call each other morons, you know. It's like, you're such a moron, man. He'd go, you're a moron. No, I'm not a moron. You're a moron. And that's all we did. Look, we grew up in the 70s, disco era, you know. So we were a bunch of Moes acting like morons.
Okay. Well, yeah, take that R out and put the D. Mode One.
Mode. It has an M-O-D, right?
Mode. Yeah, M-O-D-E.
Mode.
Uh-oh, I think his phone went out again.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, well, man, that's what happened. Oh, here it comes again. Boy, I tell you, that beach area, man, it's messing with you, ain't it?
Yeah, that chant, it's ridiculous because I can tell you something. If it works for 5 minutes, it should work for 10 minutes. I hold my phone in the perfect direction.
Uh-oh. Stan, be patient with me, listen to the audience. Yeah, he's on the beach in Marina Del Rey on his cell phone, and I guess he's having problems with the cell connection. So, here he comes back. Okay.
I'm fast, though, man. I won't let us disconnect for more than 5 seconds.
Okay. Now, is there value to innocent flirting?
Yeah, I think everybody should be flirting all day long. I think you should flirt with every man, woman, and child that you met. You know, I mean, you always should be in flirtatious mode. You should always be being playful because most people don't know how to flirt. You know what? You should flirt with married people, practice on married people, practice on anybody you can. Even talk to dogs, man. Calling dogs, talking baby talk to dogs. That'd be playful. I think people don't know how to flirt enough because they take it so seriously. You see a woman that they're attracted to and they go, oh, my God, I got to talk to her perfectly. No, you just got to learn how to have fun, and flirting is fun.
So you think flirting helps you practice just relating to people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're flirting with each other, man. Men are flirting with men, and it's not in some type of sexual term. You know, if you think about it, man, I find out you're a, you know, what's your favorite baseball team, and I tease you about that. That's a form of flirting. Flirting is teasing is what it really is. It's about playful. It's like playful language between two people. We just did it doing the chant out. You know what I mean? That's being playful and fun. It's a bonding thing. It's got nothing to do with sexuality at all. Now, granted, you're on a date and you start flirting a little bit, and you start kissing and you start teasing each other. That's a whole different kind of flirting. But when it comes down to just being playful, everybody needs to be playful with each other because it makes the world a far more interesting place.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're going to have to think of a different word. I don't want people to say that me and David Weigand were on my show flirting with each other.
No, playful banter back and forth, man.
Playful
join the
banter.
Conversation.
Okay, I'll go with playful banter. Now, would you say, in your experience dealing with your clients, do you give different advice to men who are primarily looking to increase their opportunities for, say, casual sex and simply getting laid, than the advice you would give to a man who was looking to enter into a long-term monogamous relationship that will ultimately lead to marriage?
It's all the same. You got to learn how to communicate and understand the opposite sex and have self-confidence. It's all the same thing. And as far as I'm concerned, I had casual sex that was so off the charts amazing because I was open and honest about it right from the get-go. The woman knew what she was getting. The woman knew that she wasn't being promised a relationship. We communicated it, and the sex was fantastic. And you know what? You got to live your life 100% authentically from the minute you open your mouth. So all the skills I teach people will help you not only get laid, will actually get you laid in a really a lot more fun way, and also get you the relationship you want. Because being honest is once again going to attract people. If you're just in a sex mode, you know what? It's only fair to attract people that are in a sex mode. If you meet a woman and she's looking for a relationship, and you're just looking to get your rocks off, you know what? You got to be honest with her and say, I'm looking for nothing serious, right? Just something casual. Because here's what happens. After a few months of getting your rocks off, you get sick and tired of it. You want a relationship. If you ended up trying to convince some woman to sleep with you and you lied to her and told her you wanted a relationship, and all of a sudden, you know, she got pissed off, she'll never want to talk to you again. But all of a sudden, you know, you were busy getting laid casually for a while. 6 months down the road, you run into her again, and you look at her and go, you know what, you and I need to get together. I'm past my casual dating scene. I really, really want a relationship now. You know what, she's going to respect you, and you'll be able to go out with her, and you won't waste a good opportunity because you were just trying to get laid. Plenty of women to get laid, man. There's not one super slut being passed around. Plenty of women to get laid with, and plenty of women are looking for casual sex. So just use and have fun with the ones that are, because they're going to use and have fun with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, on a lot of PUA sites, they use the term inner game. I see that always talked about. Now, with you, your main buzzword is inner confidence. Briefly explain to my listening audience, particularly the males, what is behind the general concept of having inner confidence?
Inner confidence is realizing who you are as a person. Inner confidence, okay, is actually believing you're a gift. Inner confidence is actually knowing that you're a great person. Inner confidence is actually embracing your flaws, accepting them, and working on yourself every day. Inner confidence is accepting that you're going to fail, and when you fail, you're going to learn from that lesson. That's what inner confidence is all about. It's understanding yourself, accepting yourself.
Do you ever... In the same way I was asking about giving different advice to, say, someone who's just looking to get laid versus someone who wants a relationship that lead to marriage. Do you find that in any way, shape, or form, does age have an effect on, say, what advice you give? Like, would you give someone, a gentleman that's 55 years of age, different advice than, say, a guy who's 25 or 30?
Yeah, I'm going to tell the 55-year-old to stop chasing 25-year-olds because they really don't want them, you know. And I'm going to take them through a little dose of reality, you know, a dose of reality that if he wants a 25-year-old woman, he's usually last on the totem pole. He usually is the man that they're willing to sample once, and that's about it, unless it's a financial arrangement. You don't become Sean Connery overnight. You don't become Michael Douglas overnight. Secondly, okay, it's all about confidence. I don't care how old you are. Eventually, you're going to have to learn how to communicate, listen, and become a confident person. But when I'm talking to a 22-year-old, I'm telling them, you know what? You're going to have to deal with a lot of club and party girls. You're going to have to deal with a lot of girls not knowing what they want. So there's different frustrations at different ages. But you've got to eventually learn that you have to work on inner confidence, and you've got to be realistic about what you can get, you know. And anybody that tells you otherwise is lying. Anybody that tells you if you're 60 years old and you can go get 30-year-old women all day long, you know what? All they're trying to do is sell you some game. They're trying to sell you something, and that's it. They're just lying to you. They're not telling you the truth. Because if you're 60 years old, you got to realize just because you failed in your 20s and didn't get many hotties in your 20s, you got to start thinking to yourself, getting some hot women that are older and really worthy of you and people that you can relate with. If you want a young girl, go to Craigslist and go get yourself a little fucking happy ending chick if that's what you want. But you know what? For a relationship, you ain't going to get a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, I have to tell you, you know, 90% of my shows are for what I always like to refer to as the PG-13 Disney Channel watch and listener. But this is going to be called Raw and Uncut with David Wygant because he has been totally unleashed on this show. Now, switching genders for a second, I know most of who I see talking about you on the internet is the single men, but you do offer products and services to women. First of all, what would you say is your rough percentage of female clients?
Female clients, probably I'd say, let's take a percentage, about 10-15% of female clients. The rest, it's 85% men, 15% women.
Okay. And when examining your products, like I see you have the Women's Audio Mastery Series, No Excuses, Banish Your Fears, Date Any Man You Want, The Art of Attract. Now, obviously, some of the dynamics and what they have to deal with in dating are far different from what men. What are women's big issue? I don't think it's necessarily fear of rejection, or is it?
Oh, it's totally fear of rejection. It's the same thing. Women don't want to put themselves out there. Women don't make themselves available. So in turn, it's like a reverse rejection. By not making yourself available and not sending out signals, then men don't know that you're interested. Because men basically are blind. I mean, if you think about it, you know, we really don't notice the obvious stuff. And women, they love to do the obvious thing. They'll look at a man one time for 1 second and expect the man to walk over. The problem is the man sneezed at that moment, so he missed that look. No man's going to walk over when they see one look. It's going to take 3 or 4 looks because you know what? We're men. We got fear of rejection. We don't want to walk over there unless you go give us some good outward signs. And the problem is a lot of women don't want to do the outward signs because they're afraid to go do it. They're afraid to say hello. They're afraid to smile. But the bottom line is that if the man has not walked over that you want, you better change the way you present yourself to men because it isn't going to happen. And that's the cold, hard reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listeners, be wrapping things up in about 8 to 10 minutes. So you got a few more minutes to get a last-minute call in. 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. I'm going to take my last intermission break of the evening, and then when I come back, I'll be wrapping things up with David with a couple more questions. And in the meantime, if you do have a last-minute question, please call in right now. And as I go to this commercial, don't go anywhere because I'll be right back.
Zap me.
Do you want to let loose?
Yep.
Do you want to vent on the issues
all the time?
Do you want to express your view?
Yes, sir.
Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L.,
okay,
inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show.
That's what's up.
Real life, real issues, real talk,
okay,
uncensored. Join me on the SON networks Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off.
I'm there.
Come join us on Sound Off Now, where nothing is off limits.
That's what's up.
www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
Hey, this is Hill Harper, and you can be the difference in the life of a child. Be big. Volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Do it today. The kids need us. Go to bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Return to my interview with dating coach and attraction expert David Wygant on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Area code 561-561. You're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, David Wygant. What's your question or comment?
I don't have a question or a comment. I'm just listening. This is Honey Cheeks.
Oh, okay, Honey Cheeks. Just listening, huh? Okay.
Okay, you want me to ask the question? I'm going to ask the question.
Go ask the question.
Why is he in his garage giving this interview because his girlfriend and her mother have run him out of his home? Like, he's scared. He ran to the garage. Because he don't want to offend his girlfriend's mama. But then he's talking about people flirting. Come on, dude. That's funny.
Okay, David, what do you have to say to that?
I'm actually not in the garage. I'm actually sitting on the beach, and I watch the sunset with my dog. So I wouldn't sit in my garage. My God, man, that would be awful. So I took my dog out because I like to, at this time of night, like to sit out here on the beach because it's quiet. I like to check the sunset. Just kind of chill out a little bit. Secondly, my girlfriend's mom is a good Southern woman, you know, and you know, and I'm talking about sex, dating, and relationships, and it's just really not the place to do it, you know. If somebody calls in and says, hey, David, I really want to know how to get laid or how to meet a woman on one night stand, and here's her mother here, you know, thinking to herself, oh, my God, my daughter's with this guy, this pervert, teaching men how to get laid? So, you know, it's just called respect in the family.
So her mother has met your representative and not the real you.
Her mother knows
me. You're hiding that from her mother.
Her mother knows
that you're dating and having sex, and she's sleeping over at your house, so mom has met the representative. I mean, I'm just asking.
No, there's a work side of me and a private side of me. A work side of me is this side you guys are hearing. My private side is totally different, you know? And that's just the way life is, you know? It's not, I'm not going to be this way in my house. This is just not the way I speak when I'm speaking to my girlfriend or speaking to her mother or I'm talking to friends. But when I'm giving advice and I want to shake people up a little bit and wake them up out of their comas so they can go meet people, yeah, I'm going to throw some shock value out there because you know what? Somebody has to because people are always waiting for an opportunity to come in life, and it comes down to all aspects of their life. It comes down to the way people look at the economy and business and everything else. People are always waiting, and they're bystanders in life. So if I sat around and talked in a mushy tone of voice like I talk, oh, people are going to look at me and go, oh, this is so nice, you know? When in reality, I want to shake people up a little bit. I want to create some emotion in them so they go out and make some change in their lives. So, you know, I don't need to do this in my house. I don't need to shake things up in my house. My house is a nice, private, quiet place, man, that I get to retreat to.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Honey Cheeks, for calling in. As always, I appreciate you listening. I see you take one more caller. I see 832. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, David Wygant. What's your question or comment?
All right, this is Echisaurus.
What's up, Echisaurus?
Yeah, Dave. Just wondering where David usually games at?
Where's he game at?
Yeah,
I just doubtful he games anywhere now because he's in a relationship. But David, when you were single, was there one particular place you game at, say a nightclub or grocery store?
I just go. You know, I don't call it game because to me it's just so stupid sounding, man. It's not a game, man. It's like, ask me, man, where are some good women that I can go meet? And I'll tell you, man, they're all over the place. You know, my favorite places to meet women were always the supermarket because it was casual, easy, convenient. I can go pick up some food, you know, I can go meet some women. And to me, it was just running my errands, you know, like going out and doing my everyday things. If I went and go picked up, you know, if I went to the gym and worked out and I started talking to somebody, I picked up a cup of coffee somewhere, or I went shopping, or, you know, whatever it was, or I was just walking the dog on the beach or going for a bike ride. To me, it was just about the casual meetings, you know. Going out there and going hunting and pecking with a bunch of wild wolves on a Friday night was not my cup of tea, man. I didn't enjoy going into a nightclub because that's where everybody expects it to happen. So to me, it was just paying attention, keeping my eyes open, and making it happen as I saw it.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. Real quickly, two things. Now, one real quick. I heard that for some clients, you actually come to their home, fly to their home, and observe them so you can give them better advice. Is that true?
Oh, man, I've lived with clients for weekends. I've lived with clients for a week. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I believe that when you're going to coach somebody, you got to jump into their life so you can see how they live, and you can also show them in their everyday routine and in their life all the opportunities that they're missing. I never believed in a seminar where you're actually standing there in a classroom and everybody's sitting there shaking their head going, this is great stuff, man. Everybody does well in the classroom. I want to see you in the field of life because that's the only way you're going to be coached. That's the only way you're going to learn, and that's the only way you're going to make changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now tell my listening audience where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Easy, man. My site is davidwygant.com. Last name spelled WYGANT, davidwygant.com, spelled WYGANT. Got great products you can cruise around, but I got a blog that I do every single day. I get about 100 comments a day from people just chatting back there. I pick a new topic each day. It could be about dating, relationship, sex, whatever it might be, man, and we just let it sling. And a lot of mud is flung on that blog every single day because people really want to learn and they want to grow, and it's all free, davidwygant.com.
Well, thank you, David, for joining me this evening. I really appreciate your frank honesty and your feedback regarding your philosophies, your principles to help single men and single women. Again, check out his site, davidwygant.com. He's considered one of the top dating coaches in this nation, and I'm sure you can learn a lot from him. Next week, I will have a guest by the name of Fabri Hassan Freeman. She is a relationship and personal development coach, and she will be joining me next week to talk about the secret power of that single women and married women have with men. So that will be a show for the ladies, the secret power of that women have with men. Until next week, have an enjoyable weekend, We're almost at the summertime, and I'm going to send you out on a cut by hip-hop artist and the rapper Common called This Is Me. I will see you next Thursday. Take care.
If I lose it, pick the rhyme, any rhyme. I don't have any time to waste. I'm hip. Don't even trip. Ladies, the travel agent. Now we fly for free. I can be fly for free. You want some fire tree, then buy from me. I got the flame like UIC, but I'm eating UAC. Some of the realest, illest, chillest cats you may see in your life if you get one. Rappers are like jobs to me. Why? Because they get done. Here it comes. I'm as able as Kane to get raw. That's why the DJs mix me. I'm gonna bust dicks. This is not the bomb. Save all your threats. I'm good to go, and also I'm rest. Rhymes are rest, effects the roughnecks, down to the preps in the polos. The studs with pros, hoes with weed. The ball headed to the dreaded. The folks with butters, high rollers the rollers. Players with flash studs with stocking caps. I be rocking raps, rock a lot of niggas play my tape about as much as they do craps. I'm on point. I see low, I see high. High see, I'm free at last. I'm a free man. So to myself, I say congratulations. I'm glad you had the patience. You better have the patience.
Love me, and this is, I'm out.
I love the way I do it.
Yo, I wanna say,
nobody else.